Morel season is here. It's that brief window of time in the spring when people lucky enough to find them at their local farmer's market or maybe out in the woods while foraging rejoice, and then they eat really, really well.
Finding them in the wild can be tricky. Once you have them, the next challenge is knowing how to prepare and cook them.
Tavis Lynch is with us now to share his advice about morels. He's a commercial mushroom forager and cultivator from Cumberland, Wisconsin. He teaches several mycology classes for Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College and is a certified mushroom expert by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Tavis, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Tavis, how did you first get into foraging for mushrooms and growing them yourself?
Well, it started as a family tradition, and as I was finding more and more as I got older, I started selling them to the restaurants, and then that wasn't, I couldn't find enough to keep up with the demand, so I had to start growing as well. I think I started in 2010 or 2011 cultivating.
I didn't know people cultivated morels. I guess it makes sense. How do you get started on that?
I do not cultivate morels.
Oh, you don't?
There's other species that I grow. I grow shiitake and oyster mushrooms. No, morels I just do exclusively in the wild.
So is it possible to cultivate them, or are they only wild grown?
Well, there's a lot of varieties of morels, and there are a couple that can be cultivated fairly effectively, but they're of low quality. They're not a very good mushroom. The best ones you're going to find are certainly the wild-crafted morels.
Now, what I've heard is that you find them near dead trees. Is that true?
It is. The mushroom and a tree have a relationship, and as that tree becomes stressed or dies, that fungus sends up a reproductive panic button. So we're looking for trees that are stressed or recently dead, particularly elms, ash, oaks, and apple trees.
And can you describe a morel for people who, I've seen them, I haven't found them in the wild, I have seen them in the farmer's market and on my plate, but what do they look like for people who haven't encountered them?
Well, it's a tough little thing to describe. They're kind of like a Christmas tree-shaped sponge. They've got a pitted cap surface, and they're kind of slightly triangular. They can get quite large. I've seen them approaching the size of a football, but typically we're looking for mushrooms that are about 4 to 6 inches tall.
That's a great description, actually,
yeah.
A Christmas tree-shaped sponge. And, Tavis, I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm about morels at the markets when you first see them there, in your dinner plate at a restaurant. What is so special about these mushrooms? Why do people go so nuts for them?
Well, I think a lot of that is truly because it's the first edible thing we can find in the woods. We're just coming out of winter, especially up here in the north. I mean, we had snow here a week ago. And it's the first edible thing we can find, and people get excited for that. Another thrill of it is that they don't last very long. You know, the season for morels is usually only 10 to 20 days long. So, and it's a good eating mushroom. I think that there's better mushrooms out there, but the thrill of the first mushrooms of spring is certainly a highlight for people.
You mentioned that short 10 to 20 day season. I hear sometimes people say, oh, it's a good season for morels or a bad season. What is it that makes it a good year or not for a morel?
It's all about timing for temperature and water. Morel fruits, when the soil temperature is between 55 and 62 degrees at 5 inches deep, and if it's not raining through that window of temperature, you're not going to get any production. So we're looking for that soil temperature to rise into the mid to high 50s, usually in early May in the southern part of the state and mid-May up where I'm at. And as long as we're getting rain through that cycle, we will see morel production.
Now, you said a moment ago that there are tastier eating mushrooms than morels, and I have to beg to differ, but I'm not a mycologist. I have never had a better mushroom than a morel, unless I don't clean it well and I end up with a mouthful of grit. But really, are there mushrooms you like more than morels?
There is, but that all boils down to personal preference. I've tasted about 160 of our wild-grown mushrooms in Wisconsin, and I wouldn't put a morel maybe even on my top 20, to be honest.
What is on your top 20?
Well, there's quite a few that I enjoy quite a bit more. I really like the bluets. I like a lot of the boletes that come out in midsummer. And there's a few fall mushrooms I enjoy as well.
Huh. Yeah, and these are, I guess, lesser known. I'll say they're lesser known to me. Why do we know morels so much better than those other ones?
I think because they are so popular in the Midwest, and I think just because of the thrill of people getting out and enjoying the weather for the first time in months. So they're common, they're popular, and they are a tasty mushroom. Don't get me wrong, I love morels, but I think most of it is just the hype of being able to get out in the spring for the first time since last November.
A lot of years I tell myself, I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for morels this year. I haven't done it yet this year. Is there still time?
There is. I think that the southern part of the state is probably just entering peak production right now. And I'm in northern Barron County, and we're actually just starting to see our first morels. But things you're going to want to look for are dead or dying elm or ash trees, definitely older apple trees, and we're going to want to be looking at eastern and southern slopes. That's where our soil is going to warm up the fastest. So anywhere you see texture on the land, any slope, a mushroom, a morel in particular, needs water, but it doesn't want to have its feet wet. So the more rain we have, the higher up on the hills we're going to look. If it's been a drought, we're going to look lower on the hills where the water table might be a little bit more accessible.
Let's talk foraging safety a bit. Anne from Green Bay wants to know, are there other mushrooms that look like morels but are not safe to eat?
There is a couple of groups that they refer to as the false morels. But what we're really looking for with those is we don't want to eat anything that has a brain-like fold to it. It's going to look more of a wrinkled surface versus that pitted surface of a morel. We're going to want to avoid those. But there's a lot of places that you can send pictures to have your mushrooms identified safely.
We're talking with Tavis Lynch right now, a commercial mushroom forager and cultivator from Cumberland, Wisconsin. He teaches mycology classes for WITC and is a certified mushroom expert by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And we're talking about morel season right now. They're cropping up in farmers markets. You can still find them out there if you're looking to forage. And we'll be talking in a little bit about how to eat them, how to prepare them, and get the most out of your morels. And Tavis, if we want to go out there, I mean, foragers don't give away their best spots. I think it's pretty secret, but you told us a little bit about where to start looking. Can you go to a state park? Is that legal? Or what kind of lands are okay to go foraging on?
Well, I do most of my foraging up here on private lands, but I believe it was opened up in about 2013, roughly, on state lands for personal use only. So you can't go out and forage for sale, but you can go out and forage for your own personal use.
And when you
wild mushrooms.
And when you find them, is there anything about how we harvest them? Is there a right way to pick a morel?
There's an ongoing argument about that, but truly there's not. The best way is to cut them, and that is strictly for cleanliness. So we're not getting a big dirt clod in our basket with the rest of our morels, but pulling them versus cutting them, is the differences there is insignificant.
Okay, and so once you've got your basket full of morels, hopefully, how do you preserve them, and how long do you have until you should probably eat them?
They won't last in the fridge much more than about a week in a container. You can leave them out in the fridge and actually let them dry, but I prefer to dry most of mine. I run them through a dehydrator, or if I just have a few, I will split them in half and make large necklaces and just hang them up outside and let the breeze take the water away. And once they're dried, they'll keep for a very long time.
Well, let's get cooking. What do you do, first of all, with those dried morels?
The dried morels I like to bring back in a simmering cream, and that is my only two ingredients, dried morels and simmering cream. Mm, I just bring them back until they're soft, and it requires nothing else.
Wow, do they disintegrate in there, or do they stay in big chunks?
No. They hold their shape quite well, and if you want to keep cooking it down, you can actually make a very rich gravy out of that.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, my big problem, we just got a small batch of morels. They were actually at the store, and I was really looking forward to them, and I took a mouthful, and it was filled with grit and sand and dirt. How do we prepare them so that you just taste the mushroom and not so much the earth?
Well, and I don't want to try to gross you out, but that probably wasn't grit. That could have been a very small louse that's present on the mushrooms.
No, she's cool. She's not grossed out at all by that.
No,
keep
I'm
going.
All right. I'm totally fine with this.
You can dunk them really quick. 2 tablespoons of salt for 4 cups of water is enough to kill insects. So what we do is we just make a little pan, and then we dunk them just for a few seconds and then take them out. That's not going to hurt your mushroom at all. That mushroom's been out in the rain for 2 weeks. Dunking it in water for 4 seconds isn't going to hurt anything.
And then how about with our non-dried morels, and once we've got the insect life out of them, what's a good way to cook with those?
You know, I don't think you can go wrong frying them up with eggs, but frying them in butter, mm-hmm. I think that makes everything good, doesn't it?
Can't go wrong with butter.
Yeah, that's the only way I've ever made morels, and I love it. A little pepper on it, salt, pepper, and butter.
Yep, I say keep it as simple as you can. You don't want to bury it. I see people making pizzas with them and spaghetti sauce, and that to me is a waste of a good mushroom.
I will say I have grilled them, and that's actually my favorite preparation. They get a little bit, as long as you don't burn them, they get a little bit of crunch. And to me, and I don't eat a lot of red meat, it's almost like a mushroom steak. It tastes like steak.
I like that idea. I've never tried that personally. Yeah, I don't see there. The texture of a morel is superior. That I will say I really enjoy. They've got just the right amount of bite to them.
And I got to ask Tavis, this is part of this limited season for gathering morels. Are you getting antsy taking this time with us? Do you want to get back out there and start harvesting again?
I would love to.
Well, we will let you do that, Tavis. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Tavis Lynch, commercial mushroom forager and cultivator from Cumberland, Wisconsin. He teaches a lot of mycology classes at WITC. He's a certified mushroom expert by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. They're talking with us about the fabled morel mushroom.